It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. School lunches have come a long way from things like chicken a la king and Yankee bean stew. Cafeteria offerings include locally grown produce as well as vegetarian options. Business contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, joins us this week to look at the business of school lunches. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Paul. It's nice to see you. And that was a really great story that you just ran. And I'm sure that that camp program provided really great lunches for their students and their children. So I think lunch is important, as we will find out soon.
Well, since the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act passed in 2010, a program providing free breakfasts and lunches for public school has been piloted in 10 states. And now, starting with this school year, 2014-2015, it is coming to Pittsburgh. What can you tell us about it?
It's really exciting. And welcome back to school to everybody who's in school. And this is a great year for this to begin. The way the program works is the following. All students in the Pittsburgh Public Schools will receive free breakfast and free lunches regardless of family income as part of the community eligibility provision, and this is part of several acts. The program is new to Pennsylvania, but it has been piloted around the state. And the first year the program will be available nationwide is this year as well to eligible schools. And for a school to be eligible, Paul, 40% of the school or 40% of the school district's population must come from families receiving federal assistance. So that's where the Pittsburgh Public Schools kicked in. Prior to that, only low-income students or students from families receiving federal assistance could get the free breakfast. So what's really nice about this new program is it alleviates problems with only a portion of the kids getting free meals. It alleviates all the paperwork and also sort of the stigma, like I'm one of those kids, but I don't really want to be one of those kids. So now everyone's able to get it.
And that's really the way
It should be. Absolutely. And all students receive this free breakfast and lunch. And in increasing this participation in breakfast and lunch, it really helps with academic growth, simplifies meal counts, and eliminates student debt from reduced or paid meals. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I'm trying to recall the way it used to be. I attended Fulton Elementary, and you brought your lunch. You brought your lunch to school, and if you didn't, you went up to buy pizza, I guess. But there was no, cafeteria. And then at Peabody, where many of us on the east side of town went to high school, there was a pretty good cafeteria. I recall kind of liking the food.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what, if anything, we paid for. It seems to me that if we paid anything, it was pretty much pocket change, and that it might have been
supplemented
like it is apparently now, and it should be for kids because we know breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but there might be some studies I'm guessing that show kids who eat lunch do better.
There definitely are, and we have a lot more data about the breakfast. Free lunch programs don't have the same history that the free breakfast programs have, but let's look at the data from the free breakfast programs. The schools that serve free breakfast find decreases in discipline problems. They find decreases in visits to school nurses, in tardiness. They see increases in student attention and attendance. They see increases in and improved learning environments. And what they show is kids who actually skip breakfast are more likely to repeat a grade, have lower math scores, and poor cognitive functions than the students who regularly have breakfast. And so
it fires the brain.
Yeah, right? You have to have them. And then, of course, with breakfast and lunch, if you miss both of those, then you're really looking at sort of a double whammy because the difficulty paying attention, the diminished academic performances carry out throughout the day. And then we're seeing more aggression and hyperactivity, increased illnesses. So really, lunch is very critical to keep kids going all day. And if they're well-nourished, they'll do better in school and do better on tests and have faster information processing. So that all is what we want to see from our kids.
Is there a correlation between childhood and teen obesity, which we're hearing a lot about now, and school lunch programs?
Well, this is interesting because the data is also just coming in on this. So here's a little bit about what we know. There was one limited study that showed that improving the quality and the nutritional quality of school meals bolstered the academic performance of students over a two-year period, and it also lowered their weight and their blood pressure. And this was done with 1,200 elementary students who participated in a healthier options for public schools program, which was not done here but done in another state. And so there was some real diminished obesity measures, which was great. Now, there was another program that was done that showed, and this was in 2010, that if kids who just ate lunch, they actually showed some higher obesity measures, but the kids who ate breakfast and lunch showed lower measures. So I think what we're seeing overall, and again, I'll call on our great nutritionists, but if you're just eating lunch and you're not eating breakfast and then you go home afterwards and you're eating all this bad stuff, probably that increases obesity. So what we're trying to do is get at least two good squares a day in these kids.
Well, and if you have gym class, that's where you work it all off.
Yeah,
right?
Well, either that or, you know, arguing with your friends or all the messing around the halls or all those things that probably we weren't supposed to do.
Those are the things they don't encourage.
Right.
Speaking of things being discouraged, a lot of schools are banning soda pop. And one of the big reasons why is the corn syrup. How much does that impact obesity?
Definitely a lot. And when we're looking at the healthy food versus the stuff that we used to eat, I mean, I just remember my school lunches. I grew up in St. Louis. I don't think they were very healthy, and I don't think that anything green was ever on my plate. And I think the vegetables were like potatoes. So
With an ice cream scoop.
Right, came
the mashed potatoes. And don't forget the gravy.
Right, lots of really good gravy. I mean, those are the kind of foods I think we all think about. But when we're looking at healthy foods versus what we used to eat.
I was so skinny then. I could eat all that stuff.
Well, you were younger. That's a whole nother story, right? We'll go into that next.
Right.
But the best practices include limiting calories and fat and saturated fat, salt, sugar, processed foods, and certainly the high fructose corn syrups. Also, we look at the serving sizes and making sure that those are what is recommended, and also trans fats and eliminating fried food. We're also putting vegetarian options in, so we're seeing that being put in. And the Food Service Department now is getting responsible for vending machines to ensure compliance with wellness policies and national school nutrition standards. So everybody's getting into the action, Paul.
Yes. You know, it's amazing. As you were talking, I was thinking about some of the stuff we used to eat, you know, back in the day. The bad stuff.
The bad stuff.
Snow caps. Chocolate with sugar on top of it.
What could be bad about that? Right. I know. That stuff is really, it's really wonderful. And
in small doses.
In small doses.
Yes.
When you look at the Pittsburgh City Public Schools website, they have a lot of the information about what's going to be part of the breakfast and what's going to be part of the lunches. So they've really taken this very seriously. And I think they're really to be commended on it. It's going to be really exciting.
Rebecca Harris, our guest. She's our business contributor. We're talking about the business of school lunches. And what about the new healthy food lunches versus the stuff you know, we used to eat at school? Is that helping kids to just be healthier in general?
Yeah, I think so, because traditionally the older lunches that we used to see didn't have these requirements that you had to have a certain amount of fat and don't go over it. And they didn't look at the trans fats, and they didn't look at the number of vegetables and whole grains and all those kind of things that really make for a healthy meal. So I think right now those standards are getting incorporated into these breakfast and lunch meals. And that's very important as part of not just serving them, but making sure we're upholding the standards.
And another trend that we've been seeing in schools is some schools, and the First Lady, Michelle Obama, has been encouraging this with the garden they have at the White House, growing your own produce. I mean, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, the Italian garden. And by the way, the people that that were growing these things were, you know, they looked quite healthy. And so if you use these kinds of things in cafeterias, how much does this?
Right. Well, this is definitely helping, because then we're getting the fresh foods. We're getting local, which I think is really important. And that really gets to the issue of whether do you pack your kids' lunch or do you buy lunch at
school?
That
was my next question.
I know, because let me just say to you that I used to be the world's best food lunch packer. Until the day that I said to my son, Sam, what about all those lunches? Have you liked them? And there was this look of just chagrin on his face. I'm like, okay, we're going to school. Well, I went to his school. He was in seventh grade and opened his locker. And needless to say, the first thing that came out were lots of fruit flies. So 10 lunches were sitting in there, Paul. And from
lunches that, you made, Rebecca?
Yes, and they were very good, nutritious lunches.
How
Paul.
Dare he?
So that was the end of his homemade, wonderful lunches. So there's the pros and cons. And certainly at school, you can get the nutrition and everything. And but by bringing things from home, it might be things that kids really like. I guess Sam didn't. So.
All right. Well, shame on you,
yeah.
Sam. You can bring those lunches to here.
All right. I will do that next time.
Tuesdays with Rebecca's Lunches. Business contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'll be off for the next few days. Kevin Gavin is in the host chair tomorrow. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.